Good morning. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Joe, and I'm a proud member of the consecrated class. Today, it is my great privilege to introduce our chapel speaker. Now, I could tell you how he has a bachelor's in business and a minor in econ from Mount Union College, or how he has a master's of divinity degree from Asbury Seminary, along with a minor in basketball playing with Stu Smith back when they both had a whole lot more hair. Or I could tell you how he earned a doctor from Wesley Theological Seminary. I could tell you about his many achievements, as he has authored 2 books, successfully pastored churches, and was an outstanding president at Asbury Theological Seminary for 2 years. During which both attendance and giving to the seminary increased dramatically with God's blessing. Excuse me. Or about how he is now the senior pastor of Reynoldsburg United Methodist Church in Columbus, Ohio, which is one of the largest United Methodist churches in the country. He has accomplished much in life, and maybe more importantly, has been an outstanding husband to my mom, Beth, and a wonderful father to me and my brother and sister, Nathan and Paige, who also attend here at Asbury. Instead of giving you the details and stats of his life, I'd just like to talk about his heart. I believe that he has one of the most Christ-like hearts I've ever seen. I've seen him pick up the tab anonymously at a restaurant to help someone in need. I've heard of him giving up his first-class seat on an airplane for a soldier coming home from Iraq. And I've witnessed firsthand his ability to balance real love with strength to help people from all different walks of life. I remember at the seminary, he even refused to accept the raise, but elected instead to distribute the extra funds to the maintenance workers and secretaries that made lower wages. He is a wonderful example of what servant leadership should be. He strives to be more like Christ every day in every area of his life. While I do not plan to follow his footsteps in the ministry, he is everything I would aspire to be. Please join me and my brother and sister in welcoming Dr. Reverend Jeffrey Greenway.
If you have a Bible, you're going to want to turn to the Gospel of Luke. And you're going to leave it open on your lap today because we're going to walk through a story in the Bible. If you're finding the Gospel of Luke, turn to chapter 19. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 1 in just a moment. I want to tell you today just how incredibly humbled I am to be here. And I thank God every day for Asbury College and for the gracious way they have treated my family and me in these last years. I love what is happening in the heart and life of each of our 3 children, as well as 2 of our 3 children's significant others. Nathan and Joe and Paige are our children. Suzanne Schaefer is Joe's fiancée, and Rachel Schmaltz is Nathan's girlfriend. And we're so thrilled to see what's happening in their hearts. And I'm so honored to be a part of their lives. Listen to God's word. Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down, for I must stay at your house today." All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back 4 times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." Let's pray. Lord, I love you, and I know that you love me. And I love these people, and I know that you love these people. I pray that you would love these people through me today, so that they all might come to know how high and long and deep and wide is your love for us, O God. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Jesus saw two types of humanity. It's been in existence since Adam and Eve walked out of the garden. Humanity can be divided into a variety of dyads: those who are lost and those who are found, those who are unsaved and those who are saved, those who are selfish and those who are selfless, those who live very far away from God and those who live very close to God. And Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, and to draw us very close to God. And the moment that we encounter Jesus, a conversion takes place, and we move from one type of humanity to another. This passage is a story about conversion. Now you might be thinking, Jeff, what does a 2,000-year-old story have to do with us living in the 21st century? We need conversion, just like Zacchaeus did. I want you to look and listen to the symptoms of our lostness that can be seen in the culture all around us, and you will know that we need conversion. For example, doctors' offices are filled with people whose sickness of soul has flowed out into their bodies. We need the healthy wholeness of conversion. Psychiatrists' couches and counselors' offices are filled with people who reflect a spiritual dis-ease. We need the fullness of being born again. Suicide, even among Christian believers, continues to climb. It's a symptom of the loss of meaning and purpose that can be seen all around us in our culture. And we need the meaning and purpose of God that comes in our conversion. Divorce is escalating, and the divorce rate among Christian couples mirrors that of our culture. People all around us are hopping from one relationship into another. And we need the freshness of new life in Christ and the depth of love that comes with conversion. Our lives are being stretched in all kinds of directions, and they're centered in none. We need the stability of soul that comes with conversion. If you listen to the sounds of life all around us, you will hear a sad chorus of emptiness, a spiritual malaise that says, we need conversion. We need to be born again. We have no invisible means of support. Here's the sad truth. Many of us have learned to live our lives without God, but we have not learned to live with ourselves without God. We need conversion, just like Zacchaeus did. And perhaps a short look at this story about Zacchaeus will help us to take a long look at ourselves. So I want to share with you, I want to set the context for this passage. It's Friday afternoon, about 4 hours before sundown, and it's the start of the Jewish Sabbath. Palm Sunday is only 2 days away. And Jesus is passing through the city of Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. I believe it had been his plan to pass through and celebrate the last Passover of his life a little bit closer to Jerusalem. But he was struck by something he saw in the life of a man named Zacchaeus. He was struck by the emptiness of soul that he saw in him. Jericho is located on the southern end of the Jordan Valley in the Holy Land, just where the river flows into the Dead Sea. It is the oldest city in the world. And ever since human beings have learned how to trade things, it has been a crossroad for the caravan routes for centuries. And in its markets, you could find the wine and wheat from the north, the gems and grain from Egypt, the spices and silk from India, and the tapestries and treats from Arabia. It seemed as if all roads led to Jericho. And we know from another story that Jesus told that the road to Jericho was often a very dangerous road filled with bad people. But I want you to know that it wasn't just the bad people were not only outside the on the road to Jericho, they also lived in Jericho. And the most despised of all was a guy named Zacchaeus, a tax collector, who had been fleecing the natives and gouging the traders with his above and beyond the pale tax bracket. Now, this lesson holds four lessons for people who want to grow close to Jesus. The first one is this: Zacchaeus needed conversion. Zacchaeus epitomized the kind of person that Jesus came to seek and to save. He was the least. He was a Jewish tax collector. And that was the dirtiest job in town, because he had sold out his countrymen and given his allegiance to the evil empire of Rome. He was hated by everyone. He was also the last. Zacchaeus was an outcast. He had been damned by his neighbors a long time ago. He was a scapegoat for all of their troubles. He was lonely. I believe that he was haunted by silence during his days. He was always alone in a crowd. See, he had the kind of reputation that when he walked in a room, people stopped talking and started whispering. So he lived in silent conversation with himself. He was isolated. He didn't have any neighbors who cared. There were no buddies that he could call to watch the ball game with. He was despised. Gossip buzzed in his ears when he was walking through the marketplace. His name almost became kind of like a cuss word. They would snap his word off with their teeth and lips: Zacchaeus. He was also lost. While he might have been rich, he was hollow inside. He was miserable. He owned a lot, but he had nothing of value. His opulent home was something to look at, but it lacked the warmth of love. He lived as a castaway on an island of gold. He was kind of like the person Jesus talked about, who had gained the whole world but was on the verge of losing his soul. He was lost. Do you know what it means to be lost? To be lost means that you're not where you're supposed to be and you don't know how to find your way back home. And he was lost, and he didn't know how to find his way back to God's heart. Zacchaeus' life was hopeless. He was a walking dead man. Sure, he had a pulse, but he had learned a long time ago that death is more than just the cessation of our bodily functions. Death begins to work its way into our lives when we cease to be the people that God had in mind when he first thought of creating us. For all intents and purposes, Zacchaeus was dead. He was living the life our adversary wants us to. He was empty, hollow, alone in a crowd, eating and sleeping and working and sinning and dying. He was going through the motions, lost and far away from God. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever been lost? Then you need conversion, so you can be found. The second thing this passage tells us is that Zacchaeus looked for Jesus. Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus. Into his hollow, dark life, a few months earlier, a ray of light had shone. It was a ray of hope. He had been attending the annual tax collectors union meeting, and he had heard the story, a rumor, about a tax collector in Capernaum named Levi, who had quit his lucrative larceny to start to follow a man named Jesus. And Levi had thrown a feast for Jesus at his house, and that intrigued Zacchaeus. Would a man who accepted an outcast like Levi be willing to accept him? Would Jesus eat with him? So Zacchaeus decided that he would look for the man named Jesus. For the first time in his life, he was reaching out for the love of God. He heard that Jesus was coming to town. After all, Jesus did travel with a posse. There was an entourage that went with him. It was hard to hide him. And this news stirred his heart. He stepped out of the shadows and began to start living in the light of day. He watched the crowd that was arriving with Jesus, and he noticed that they looked happy. How could that possibly be? How could these penniless people look so happy while he who had everything that the world could measure looked so miserable? Perhaps Jesus' presence was the key, because even in rags, they had joy and spirit and dignity in each step. Zacchaeus wanted that kind of dignity. You see, he wasn't just looking for Jesus' autograph that day. He had heard that Jesus had opened a blind man's eyes, and he was praying that Jesus would bring a dead man back to life. His life was crying out for conversion. He was driven by a gnawing hunger that his possessions could never fill. How many of us have that hunger in our souls today? Are you empty inside? I know you're kind of coming to the end of midterms, and some of you have kind of hit the wall, and you're wondering what your place is in God's world. Are you looking for meaning and purpose? Do you want him to bring life into the dead places of your soul? You know, I know a lot about the two institutions in this town, and I also know that there's a flat side to these two institutions, and it is that sometimes we think that we know it all, and that we can dupe ourselves into believing that we have arrived. But I want to remind you of something that E. Stanley Jones once said. He was talking about how sometimes we know a lot about God, but we fail to know him. And he said, the knowledge of God makes us proud, but the love of God makes us humble. Zacchaeus was a hollow, proud man, about to receive life in humility. He was determined to see Jesus and to receive life. Nothing would stop in his way. But as Jesus drew near, obstacles began to get in his way. The first one was this: he was a little guy. And much like a little kid at a parade, he couldn't see around the big people. But like a little kid in a parade, there wasn't anybody in the crowd that was going to pick him up and set him on their shoulders so that he could see. And the second thing that you need to know is that the crowd was not a friend to Zacchaeus. They didn't like him. And when he was out from behind his tax collector's desk and he was in the crowd, he was an open target. And I imagine that the crowd reacted to him by throwing elbows at him and saying, "Not today, Zacchaeus. You don't get to pull rank here today." Pop him in the elbow. They would spit on him and pull at his beard and push him away. They said, "Zacchaeus, you want to see Jesus? Then go climb a tree." And he did. Are you looking for Jesus today? I hope so, because he's looking for you. What obstacles are in your way? Is it unrepentant sin that you've got in your life? Is it a grudge that you're holding? Is it pride that thinks that you've arrived and you don't need what we're talking about? Are you afraid of what others will think? Are you willing to climb over the obstacles? Are you willing to get up out of your seat and come to Jesus? Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus so much that, beaten, battered, and bruised, he went to the nearest tree and he shinnied up and he climbed out on a limb waiting for Jesus. Will you? Will you overcome the obstacles and look for Jesus? The third thing this passage tells us is Zacchaeus found Jesus. Zacchaeus found Jesus. Here he is, up on a tree, out on a limb. The crowd passes under, and Jesus stops. And he looks up at Zacchaeus, and he looks into his eyes and gazes into his soul. And he sees the emptiness. And he says the words that Zacchaeus had been waiting to hear. He says, "Zacchaeus, hurry up and get down here, because I have to stay at your house today." Now, I want to say three things about the call of Jesus to Zacchaeus. The first one is this: Jesus called him by name. And I got to believe that this is the first time in years that Zacchaeus' name had been spoken with grace and mercy. He called him by name. Zacchaeus was nameless no more. The second thing I want you to know about this call of Jesus is that Jesus shared a meal with him. This was the first time in years that anybody had shared a meal with Zacchaeus out of friendship. He was the kind of guy that had to pay people to come to a dinner party so he'd have somebody sitting at his table. So Zacchaeus was lonely no more. And the third thing about this call of Jesus is this. Jesus, the Savior of the world, spent the last Sabbath of his life with the least and the last and the lost. He took the time to save one more. You see, the point is that Jesus met Zacchaeus at his point of need, and he'll do the same for you today. He is ready to love and accept and forgive and restore you. Jesus wants you. Jesus' invitation took Zacchaeus right out of his tree because Jesus wanted him. And it literally turned his life upside down. I imagine that that his palms began to sweat and his heart began to race and the branches began to snap and the leaves began to fall and he tumbled down onto the ground. His hair was a mess. His clothes were disheveled. But his heart was open and ready. And the Bible tells us in this passage that he received Jesus joyfully. Jesus came to seek and to save the least, the last, and the lost, and Zacchaeus fit the bill. And at the invitation of Jesus, get this, he was thoroughly found. And his conversion came when he received Christ joyfully. Do you know what that's like? Do you want to? You are important to God. God sent his son in the world for you. He loves every one of us as if there was only one of us to love. And Jesus would rather die for you than live without you. He wants to be your guest. And he wants to stay in the home of your heart tonight. But you need to respond. You need to climb down out of the tree. You need to get up out of the seat and receive him. Will you? All you got to do is say yes to Jesus. Now, there's a fourth thing in this passage I want to share with you. And that is that Jesus changed Zacchaeus. Jesus changed Zacchaeus. He was converted. Now, here's the important lesson for all of us. Conversion does not stop when we meet Jesus. It starts. Zacchaeus showed the fruit of a changed heart in his behavior. He stopped stealing. He made restitution. His heart welled with joy. He was so transformed that he began to change his behavior and realign his life with God. His works grew out of his faith. He went above and beyond what was expected of the day. And Christian tradition tells us that eventually Zacchaeus sold everything that he had and gave it away. And he moved to the seaside town of Caesarea into another community of believers, and at the time of his death, he was the bishop, the leader of the church in Caesarea. How? Or why? Because Jesus changed his heart and recalibrated his life. You see, conversion is not just about a change in behavior, it's about a change in character. And Jesus gave him a new heart. Jesus gives us a new heart and forgives us when we accept him.
And he works in our lives to reform our personalities and transform our character. A few weeks ago, I had the privilege of going to the Marion Correctional Facility in North Central Ohio. My church has a ministry among the prisoners there. And I was invited to come and speak to all the men in the prison in the yard on a Promise Keepers event. But before I went to do that, I wanted to go and meet with some of the Christian brothers who were in the prison. And we went into this little room in the prison, and there were five inmates, offenders there, each of them serving 20 years to life for heinous crimes against society. Three of them were African-American, and two of them were Anglo. And they began to share their stories, and I learned that the two Anglo Christians that were sitting in the room used to be the leader and the lieutenant of the Aryan Brotherhood in that prison. And their sole purpose was to kill every black prisoner who was in the prison with them. And I sat there in amazement as I listened to these inmates, white and black, talking about how they loved one another, how they cared for one another, how they would lay down their lives for one another. And it struck me, only God can do that. Only God can change a person's heart like that. Only God can enable forgiveness like that to happen. You see, when we need Jesus and when we seek Jesus and then we find Jesus, conversion begins and it lasts a lifetime. Now, some of us are in a pretty dangerous place this morning because we think that we've arrived and we don't need to hear this message. But I want to remind you of something that Oswald Chambers once said. He said, we have to be continually converted every day, all of our lives. And if we don't, get this, we spit on the throne of God and we say, I won't. What are you looking for this morning? I don't know what you're looking for, but I can tell you what we need. We need conversion. We all need the fullness of Jesus. Are you willing to come to Him? As the closing song is sung this morning, I don't want you to worry about anything else except for where you are with Jesus. Do you need Him? Do you need more of Him? Are you seeking after Him? Are you willing to be found by Him? As they start to sing, I want you to come on down here. And I'll be waiting for you. And all you need to do is pray and ask. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, come and live in my heart and life today. Amen.